Good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of a Pen and a Napkin podcast, a weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. Welcome back to our interview series, episode number 260. And we have longtime head coach at West Holt High School, Atkinson West Holt High School, Todd Hale, the boys basketball coach, on the line here tonight. But before we get to Coach Hale, we want to thank our founding sponsor, Cosac Chiropractic, located at 144th and Maple here in Omaha. Coaches, if you or any of your athletes are struggling with balance, neck, or spinal issues, have them go see Cosac Chiropractic. You can check out their practice at Cosac Chiro, KOSACHIRO.com. Follow us on Twitter at a pen and a napkin. We try to put out daily coaching tidbits on the Twitter handle, so be sure to follow us there. If you're listening, download, rate, review, give us 5 stars, say nice things, subscribe to a pen and a napkin. It helps us move up in the rankings for coaching podcasts, so please do that. Questions, comments, suggestions, or ideas, email me a pen and a napkin at gmail.com. Enough of that stuff. Coach Todd Hale, head boys basketball coach at Atkinson West Holt High School. Coach, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. I'm great. I appreciate you having me on here, Marty.
Well, no problem. You real steady program up there, having a good year this year. So let's get down to it. Let's talk some hoops, Todd. For folks that don't know a lot about you, don't know a lot about your program and your basketball journey, why don't you just fill in the blanks for us and tell us how you got involved with the game and your journey there to get to be the head coach at Atkinson West Holt?
All right. Well, I originally am from Atkinson. So I'm born and raised here, played basketball here at West Holt. I would not say my playing career was very good. I never started. I was, maybe 6, 7, 8 guy. But I enjoyed the game. I really loved the game. And, I like being on a team and, being around guys. And so we just had a group that had a lot of fun with it. Went away to school, went to UNL, and then kind of worked my way into teaching. I really wasn't going there for teaching, but that's what I ended up with. Graduated in 89. And back in those days, there was not a teaching shortage. Mm-hmm. And so I got a job up in Springview, Nebraska, North Central Nebraska. The school is Kippah County. Mm-hmm. And probably 200-300 people there. Kind of one of those deals where I teach science, and they said, "Hey, you played basketball, why don't you coach basketball?" And that's kind of the
funny
way
how that works.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they needed a assistant girls coach. And so I joined with Tom Budnick and, coached with him for 5 years there. The last year I was there, I think our girls were about 16-6 and, did well in the conference and were just short of going to state. Mm-hmm. Then that year I met my wife, my future wife, and she, taught here in Atkinson. And there happened to be a job open at Rock County, just 20 miles down the road in Bass. Mm-hmm. And they needed a girls head coach. And so that was my first head coaching job, was at Rock County coaching those girls. Had a lot of success, had a senior led team that year. I think we were 2 points away from going to state that year. And, I look back and I think, geez, if I knew then what I know now, that team would have went to state. Uh-huh. So had 7 years there, switched over to boys basketball about 3 years into that stint. Had a couple of good teams there and kind of really learned a lot about being a head coach there. Mm-hmm. And then, in 2000, we moved over here to Atkinson, and I got to be Gary Koala's assistant for 3 years before Gary moved over to St. Mary's and had a lot of success there, won a couple of state championships there. And then I was assistant for Jeff Krause for 3 years And I think it was 2008 is when I kind of got the itch to get back into being a head coach, and I've done that since.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Todd, when do you remember your first a pen and a napkin moment? When do you remember your first time where you kind of started drawing stuff on a piece of paper or a napkin or whatever? You're like, this kind of fits me a little bit.
I think it was probably when I was at Rock County. I was doing a lot of stuff that, you know, I learned with Tom, and then I kind of didn't have very much talent, mm-hmm. 1 year. And so, you know, started looking at ways of getting our best players shots and that kind of thing. And I think in that process, I also kind of decided to, I was kind of all over the place with what I did defensively. I was running all kinds of different defenses depending on what team we were playing. And so I kind of settled down into deciding on one or two things, and then definitely kind of just stuck with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You've got a series of people that you cited as influences for you. Let's run through that list here. Let's start with a guy that, you know, coached football, but obviously has had a big effect on a lot of people that grew up in Nebraska or Nebraska with Nebraska ties. That's, of course, Coach Osborne. In what ways has Coach Osborne affected your coaching philosophy?
Well, I think I always admired, you know, his idea of a program, a system, the kids could be, you know, knew what they were going to do every day. They just did what they did, and they did as well as they could. And the other thing I thought with him was he always, you know, believed in something bigger than himself, that he was always working for something bigger than himself. And I think that really, I kind of follow that too, that I came back to West Holt, mainly because I thought it was a great school and I wanted to give back. And the other thing about Tom Osborne is, you know, the physical, academic, and spiritual balance in your life. You know, I always admired that about him and tried to follow it as best I could.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gary Kuala.
Gary was just, he taught me a lot about consistency. His practice plans, I think he might have had two practice plans that he just recycled every other day. But so it wasn't real exciting. But again, I think we worked on everything that we needed to, that he saw on that team that needed improvement. His personality just made it fun. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to do a lot of, you know, extra fun drills. I think he was just fun to be with all the time. So yeah, I really took a lot of that consistency about, you know, we need to work on fundamentals every day, and that's going to, you know, pay dividends down the road, and definitely saw that with Gary.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dave Irwin.
Dave was my head coach when I was a freshman and sophomore. And I came right off the farm. I had never played basketball before. But he taught me the value of seeing something in people. He always encouraged me. I was not talented, but I played hard for him. I think back then he was probably the smartest guy I ever saw with basketball and in the game of basketball. So, you know, I guess it was my kind of first touch of you know, knowing a professional coach. And of course, he went on and did a lot of good things in the southern part of the state. And I ran into him a few years ago when I was lucky enough to coach the NCAA All-Star game. And walked in the night before and checked into the dorm, and there he was. And I thought, oh my goodness, I hadn't seen him for 25 years. So it was really,
a full circle moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Bruce Brown.
Another coach and I got to go to a sportsmanship summit where he was speaking. And it was about 2012, I'm going to say. And a lot of people know the proactive coaching stuff, and I didn't know anything about it. But I think he talked maybe for an hour, hour and a half, and everything he said, I just hung on every word. Mm-hmm. And just so many things that made sense to me. You know, it's really helped me, I think, with my relationships with parents and players, especially parents, because later I became a parent and got to coach my kid, both of them. And I think that was so valuable and kind of a karma moment where, you know, if I would have kept doing what I was doing, I don't know if my kids would have played for me. So this has made a lot of difference in my coaching philosophy.
You know, I agree with you. I mean, I took a lot of stuff from Bruce Brown. He came to Scud at one point, and our AD had him flown in, and it was just really, really good stuff. I mean, the team covenant, communicating with parents. I mean, there's things that I can't even remember how many things I did that were Bruce Brown inspired. And if you don't know who Bruce is, just look him up. You won't regret it, because I mean, it's just such good stuff, don't you think, Todd?
Well, it's tremendous. Now the NCAA is starting to come out. Darren was just out here before the season started and did a talk for our parents. And it's all just directly from proactive coaching. And that's another good resource if people want to join NCAA, the Nebraska Coaches Association. Darren Boyson is our director, and he came out and did a tremendous job for our parents. So great resource.
Mm-hmm. And the legend, John Miller.
Well, I started coaching back in 89, and that girls team at Kippahaw that we kind of built up through the years. My fifth year there, we were, I think, 16-6, but John was down at Chambers, and he just did a tremendous job with them. I think they beat us in the conference finals and beat us again in sub-districts. But so I started looking. When I went to Rock County then and was coaching girls, contacted him, and he was running a summer league. And back in those days, you know, there was maybe one summer league, and around up here, it's very sparsely populated.
Sure.
We jumped right on that and went down and played. And I remember one day walking into the gym, it was probably 5 o'clock or so, and he was just wrapping up his fourth grade practice. And mm-hmm. I thought, what in the world, you know, what is he doing here? And, got to talking to him more and got to thinking more about a youth program. And we kind of started that then at Rock County and started getting more of our, fourth to sixth graders playing basketball, a little earlier exposure. And, by the time I'd left, we'd kind of developed a program where girls were starting to come up into high school that had some skills more than before. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, John, I've always admired his work ethic. He puts a lot of time into his program. And he's, tremendous personality, works great with the kids. But he works with, beginners to, college age kids. He's just a great teacher. And so that the idea of developing a feeder program, out here, it's kind of in the sticks. We're 90 miles from the nearest AAU program or development program. So we kind of have to do it on our own. And I got a lot of that from John.
Mm-hmm. But some of that, I guess there's pluses and minuses to it, don't you think, Todd?
Yeah, I think. The minuses in our program, we ran the youth program. And we were coaching high school at the same time. So the last couple of years, we've developed a Atkinson youth sports program, and that entity has kind of taken over. So the last couple of years, I've been able to focus a lot more on high school. And I think that helps a great deal. I think just for us, the way we're so far out here that we just had to do something on our own. Mm-hmm. Another benefit we got out of it was, if I was coaching third through sixth grade, I could then teach them our program, how we want to close out, how we want to shoot, all those kind of things. And so when they got to in our offenses, in our basic offenses, so when they got into junior high, they knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. The junior high coaches benefited from it, but you have to have consistency, I think, from the bottom all the way to the top. And I think when you get that, that's kind of what I learned from John, was you get that, you don't have to coach them so hard you don't have to teach so much. When you get to high school, you can advance.
Yep.
And do more, more things at the high school level.
Yeah. It's just building piece by piece by piece. But a lot of that foundation has been set for you, which actually makes your job easier. And on down the road, it makes the program better. It's a pretty simple formula.
Yeah, absolutely. It does take a lot of work. That's the kind of the drawback of it. When I was doing that, by the end of the season, I was ready for a few weeks off. So,
we were talking here about your program, and you're talking about the geography of your program, and the geography of Nebraska is unique. We're here in Omaha, and I can throw a stone in a lot of different directions. I can hit three high schools within about a mile and a half of my house, sum total. Whereas, like you said, you're 90 miles away from the nearest AAU program. How do you work your program here in Omaha, we play the same teams over and over again out of convenience. You guys are playing a lot of the same programs over and over again out of necessity. So how do you adjust that? How do you look at your team? How do you look at other teams and other programs and adjust your program? Or do you make any adjustments to your program as you go through that process?
I guess, when I fell into, we are going to hang our hat on a certain defense. We're going to hang our hat on certain offense. I really didn't worry about who we were going to play anymore. Mm-hmm. I knew that within our system, we could adjust. We could, tweak things here and there. I guess I worry more about the athletes that we have on the team, what their strengths are. And then, I always felt like if we can play defense, defense is going to travel. And, we can always adjust there. So I definitely scout, and we prepare the kids for different looks that we're going to see. But I guess early on in my career, I jumped all over the place. And, we might put in a whole new offense for a certain team. But out here, I think we probably work with kids that aren't as basketball savvy, maybe. Mm-hmm. They just don't have that game experience. So I think that's why I just kind of stick to doing what we do. And I don't really worry about adjusting to who we're going to play. I'm sure that, I'm probably a really easy scout. Mm-hmm. Where people are going to look at it, we know what Westholt's going to do. And, but it's about teaching our kids, in this play, this is the way it's drawn up, but what are our counters out of it? How can we take advantage of what the other team's going to try to take away. So, and of course, you know, we do play, like we played Summerlin 4 times last year.
Jeez.
You know, so, so the first time you meet, you know, you're going to have kind of basic stuff. And every time you meet, you do have to add a wrinkle here and there. So you try to get an advantage.
Yep. Coaches, I am really excited to announce this year's lineup for our 5th annual Pen and a Napkin Coaches Clinic. This year's clinic date is Saturday, April the 12th. It's going to take place at Mary R. Queen Gymnasium, located at 3405 South 119th Street here in Omaha. We've got 3 on-court demonstrators. Andy King, the head boys basketball coach at Elkhorn North High School, will get the day started with his clinic on developing your team through 5-on-5 controlled scrimmages. Jody Steyer, my good friend from Iowa State University, the associate head coach at Iowa State with the women's basketball team, is going to talk about individual player development in small group settings. Jamie Smith, the head girls basketball coach at Solon High School in Iowa, one of the best I've ever seen, teach about shooting fundamentals, is going to talk to us about how to put together a great shooting workout for your players. Coach Smith won a state championship last year at the Class 3A level in Iowa. Those are 3 on-court demonstrators. Then we're going to have 3 off-court demonstrators. Our lunch keynote speaker is my guy Raz Vanderloo, the head boys basketball coach at Sioux City East High School. And also Raz is very involved with USA Basketball. I'm just going to let Raz cook. He's going to talk to us just with a basketball smorgasbord of topics about what Raz wants to talk about that day. Then we're going to have 2 smaller breakout sessions. Lucas Dollinghouse, the head boys basketball coach at Johnson Brock here in high school, highly successful program. He's also an administrator, and he's going to talk about coaching through an administrator's eyes along with some other things. Our other breakout session is Weekday Wade Coulter, the head girls basketball coach at Gretna East High School, and he's going to talk about building a pressure defensive system. One of the great things about the Pen and a Napkin Clinic is, in addition to our presenters, we also have 2 designated breakout sessions where you will get the opportunity to discuss various topics with other coaches attending the clinic. These sessions are a great way to pick the brains of your peers at the clinic, and it's one of the most enjoyable points of our annual clinic. And then, hey, after a long day of learning about hoops, it's time to kick back and relax. We're going to have an optional post-clinic social at Wine 121. It's right down the street from Mary R. Queen, about a mile and a half down the road. I want to thank my friend TK, Tom Crable, for opening his doors to the clinic again. It's just $15 per coach for anybody that wants to join us there. Our Pen and a Napkin Clinic is one of the most affordable clinics in America. I mean, it is really, really, really affordable. You're going to get over 7 hours worth of information. That's $60 for a coach. If you're just a singular coach that wants to come up and check it out, it's $60 a coach. If you bring yourself and another coach from your staff, it's $110. 3 coaches from your staff, $150. If you bring 4 or more coaches from your staff, it is only $45 per coach. We've got a sliding scale. It's all about getting better at an affordable price. So if you are interested in signing up for our Pen and a Napkin Clinic, look to the flyer on Twitter and mail it in. You can scan it in. You can do all those different things, or you can DM me or you on Twitter, or you can email me penandanapkin@gmail.com. Registrations are due by Thursday, April the 10th, 2025. Coaches, do not miss out on one of the best coaching clinics in America. One of the things you have tried to do, Todd, I noticed I did some research on your program. You have brought in some outside organizations like Midwest Elite to come in and work with your kids. Where did that idea come from? What's been really good about it for your program, bringing somebody outside of your coaching staff to work with your youth and your high school kids?
Yeah, definitely. We've had Midwest Elite. We've had Warwick workouts. D-League from North Fork's come over. Basically, anybody I can find that's gonna travel out here and put on a camp, we'll have them out here. I think the big advantages of that is that our kids don't have to travel. You know, if we play a team camp, you know, we're traveling 2 hours to Kearney, or we're traveling 2.5 hours to Grand Island, et cetera. So it's less stress on our families. So when we have those guys come out, that's a huge advantage for our kids. We get a pretty good turnout when we do that.
Mm-hmm.
And also I think a lot of it is just the value of having other coaches saying what you've been teaching as well. You know, Midwest does a good job of, they'll send out a questionnaire as to, you know, what type of defense do you run? What, you know, do you teach dribble hop? Do you teach, you know, step into the shot? What skills do you teach? And then they'll modify that camp to your program. So, you know, when college coaches come in and they're saying the same things, you know, I think that helps the kids kind of buy into what we want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's I think that fresh voice is such a benefit. You know, turning, you know, it's just kind of the same thing when you're at this point of the year, I'm guessing it's just natural. It's January 15th. Your players are probably tired of hearing your voice a little bit, just like my players, I'm sure, were tired of hearing my voice. And even in the summertime, bringing in somebody else to tell them those things, it's got to be a lot more positives to it than negatives.
Oh yeah, and one of the other things that all of these guys have come in, they're always so motivational, and they're just, you know, they're 100% basketball. You know, so the kids really are drawn to that energy. And, you know, I've learned a lot of things that I want to put in our culture by having those coaches come in. You know, just like at the end of practice, we always end in a clapping it up, you know, so everybody starts clapping and one of the seniors will cut it off and talk, you know, and I pulled that out of one of those camps, you know, just kind of things like that, that, if you, you know, open to it, you can pick up a lot of things from them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Some of the drills.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah. What, you know, you're there just poaching stuff, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Several of the drills we still do are came from Midwest or Warwick, and a lot of the communication drills we do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're fun, up-tempo type of drills that, you know, you want in a camp. You know, you don't want to just, you know, do skill drills the whole day. So, picked up a lot of those, and kids enjoy them.
Mm-hmm. What are some things that, you know, obviously it's a nice advantage for you being an alum and being from the community and growing up there. But what are some ways that you guys have tried to build, community support within your, large geography area? I mean, you're a smaller school, but you're covering a lot of area with the farms and the ranches out there and in the region that you're living in there. So how are you bringing everybody together within your community?
Well, I think it started with that youth program, where you start making connections with families that are, you know, have third graders in the program. You know, if you do that in a positive way, I think, you know, they'll continue playing basketball. It's sometimes very difficult because, you know, you're not going to see those kids on a day-to-day basis. You know, if you get to practice 1 or 2 hours a week, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time they get into high school, I know a lot about those kids. I know a lot about their families. You know, in a town of 1200, it's hard not to know each other. I think, being from here, you know, I grew up with a lot of the parents. They know me, and fortunately we've gotten along pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back in time, Coach. We all have those things. You've been in, according to the paperwork that you filled out for me, you've been in this game for 36 years. That is, as we say on the pod, seasoned and experienced. We don't use the O word. We just say seasoned and experienced.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. Even though my I've got a couple seniors that are giving me a little grief about, we said something about, something that happened in like 1972, a couple of days ago. And they're like, oh, that was like your junior year of high school, wasn't it, Mr. Plum? I'm like, all right, smart Alec, you haven't graduated yet. You need to pass this class to get out of here. So, you know, but no, if you could go back in time, if you could hop in the DeLorean and fire up the flex capacitor to 1.21 gigawatts, what would you go back and tell Coach Hale 36 years ago as he embarked into his career?
This too will pass. You know, I think I got, as a young coach, I was really caught up in the results and whether we won or lost, or, you know, instead of really having a long view, a vision for where we were headed, you know, that this day may not have been great, but you know what? Tomorrow's going to be better. You know, just stick with it. Put your blinders on and just keep going. The other thing, I think I did this pretty well, but just go to everything you can go to as far as clinics. You know, new coaches today have such a great advantage of, you know, a podcast like this, or, you know, YouTube, and just tons and tons of information out there. You know, that really wasn't there back in those days, you know. So, you know, I think if young coaches can just realize that, you know, a loss is not the end of the world, and, you know, really work on developing relationships with the kids and getting to know them and enjoy the experience, and keep learning, eventually things are going to be good. Just have that long range view. So that's a lot of what I would tell myself. And I would have said to stop and smell the roses a little bit, because it really, really goes fast.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I think one of the things that I would tell myself would be enjoy the big wins a little bit more. You know, you get a big win and then you're like, okay, but now we got to move on to the next one. And, you know, you can't sit there and enjoy it for 4 days when you got a game 2 days later. You can't be, you know, but, you know, I don't know if I could do one thing over, I think I would enjoy that process of it better. And when you achieve that, because winning is really, really hard to do. It's a lot harder than what people think it is. And so I think that's something I would do. I mean, is that something else you might think about, Todd?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you look back and, I guess when I'm done with this, when I do retire, you know, I'll look back at a lot of those things, but I have, in the last couple of years, I have, you know, just tried to slow down and enjoy that moment, you know, in the locker room after a big win, you know, and just look around and soak it in. Because you just, you know, on the bus ride home when I was younger, I was looking at film for the next game, you know? So, yeah, it's such a fun profession that if you can stop and enjoy the kids' smiles and, you know, just do crazy things like, you know, dance after the game, that, you know, after a big win, you know, just enjoy it.
As we enter into this holiday season, coaches, you know what would make a great gift for you this year? It would be a copy of Kings of Their Court, the story of the 2020-2021 season here in Omaha. Three ranked teams in the top 25 in the country, and you're going to hear the personal and professional stories of players like Hunter Salas and Chucky Hepburn, Frankie Fiddler, William Kyle, coaches like Tim Cannon, Josh Ludke, and Doug Woodard. Yeah, just a terrific, terrific story. A crazy time period in our country with quarantine, politics, George Floyd, and everything in between. Yours for only $19.99. Go to Amazon, go to books, look up Kings of Their Court, and order a copy of that today. It's going to be a great stocking stuffer for you, for somebody that you love. Tell your wife, tell your spouse, tell your kids, hey, I would love to have a copy of this book and have something to read here and to just read about a great basketball story. Kings of Their Court, available on Amazon.com today. Coach, at this time, we're going to transition. We're going to talk a little John Wooden here. We're going to have the John Wooden quote of the day. Coach Hale, are you ready for the John Wooden quote of the day?
I sure am.
All right. So, from Wooden, A Lifetime of Observations, early in the book here, page 12 of the book. I'll read this quote, Coach, and give you a second to think about it here, and then kind of tell me what you think of it, all right? So, from page 12 of Wooden, A Lifetime of Observations, the John Wooden quote of the day is, if a player appeared to be taking it easy in practice, I told him, don't think you can make up for it by working twice as hard tomorrow. If you have it within your power to work twice as hard, why aren't you doing it now? If you sincerely try to do your best to make each day a masterpiece, angels can do no better.
Wow. Everything he says is good, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I kind of take that as, our effort is what we make it. A lot of times you might not feel like it, but why aren't you giving your best effort today? Because it really takes no talent to give effort. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I've used a lot lately is, what are the things you can do that require no skill or no talent at all? And that's one of them. It's just, effort. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of the things I try to emphasize and it's something again is we become more seasoned and experienced just overall in life. Both of us probably have more yesterdays than tomorrow. And don't take anything for granted. When you're talking to your players, you might want to not play hard today, but you could roll an ankle or something much more serious could happen, and this privilege is taken away from you. And instead of it feeling like a burden like it might in this closeout drill or this rebounding drill or this practice today, you're going to really miss this a lot sooner than what you think you will.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, your last day in the uniform is, you don't know what it feels like till it's the last day, And so if you can get kids to realize, here and now, that's an important thing. Mm-hmm. I guess we've, with with Jack Hoffman being here in town, our kids kind of every once in a while, I'm a really good example of living every day.
Yeah.
Being thankful that they get to do this every day. Mm-hmm. So, Jack's reach goes a long ways and so it's I love that quote. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to read that.
Okay, I'll take
it.
Yeah.
Page 12
of Wooden, A Lifetime of Observation. So, Coach, let's dive into your philosophy here. Let's talk about some of your favorite drills. You said you wanted to talk about some of your favorite drills that you like to do. So I'm going to open up the floor to you. When I eventually at some point interrupt, I'll try to do so as politely as I possibly can. But just tell us some of the stuff that you like to do there at West Holt to develop your program.
Well, nothing that's probably groundbreaking or anything like that. We just try to break down a lot of the things, the team stuff we break down into small sides, 2-on-2, 3-on-3. We do a lot of that. I probably only have 10 minutes of practice where we actually go 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. I think we picked a lot of that up from Jim Carlson, up here at, when he was at Boyd County. He did a lot of small side stuff. So we might, our defense, we start with just, you know, closing out on air, just getting our proper angles. We play an outer third, man-to-man defense. And so it's important that we learn how to close out. So almost every day we have a closeout drill of some sort, five on a, or one on O or one on one or one on five. And then we go from there to our two on two stuff where we're working on closing out on the ball, help side, and getting into proper space. And then jumping and denying, those kind of two on two drills. And then one of our favorite drills is a three on three. We call it three on three rebounding, where we have a guy, a shooter on the wing, a guy on the top, then a guy on the backside wing, so three out. We have two guys underneath the, or on the block, and then one guy on the top offensive player defending in a denial position. So guys got to go up, get the rebound, kick it out to the wing, and close out on the wing. And then the wing either has, we call a shot or we call it a drive. But then our other two guys have got to either rotate and come and help or rotate down to help the helper. Mm-hmm. And then if they skip it, then we got to scramble. And so it really does a good job of breaking down the three basic jobs that you have on defense and then, you know, finishing it with a rebound. And then we build that up to, you know, a four on four shell that not everybody does. It's in the man to man. And, we have different actions. I learned a lot of that from Gary Koala that, you know, basic actions, screen away, you know, drive kick, you know, those kind of things, pick and roll. And then like tonight we're getting ready for a game tomorrow. So we worked extra on, you know, what our next opponent does. You know, so we're going to see a lot of ball screen. So we're going to spend extra time on ball screen and make sure that we know if we're going to hedge or if we're switching or if we're going to ice it. And then we work on those things. So we do more of the, you know, team type of things in a four-on-four situation. And then because it's a long season, we add a lot of things to that four-on-four shell. I learned from Bobby Knight, a drill where you blow the whistle. Offense has got to drop the ball on the ground. And then defense has a little switch. You can't guard. If you drop the ball, you can't guard the ball.
Yep.
You know, so you got to scramble out. And then we've added, you know, things where we're going to go in transition. So if you had a defensive rebound or on a make, you got to get in transition and go the other way. You know, so we work on our transition defense and running our lanes on offense, just trying to create new and different ways for that drill to be entertaining, because otherwise the kids just, because we do it about every day. So if we have enough guys, we'll go four on four on four on both sides of the court. We'll do some zone stuff with it. So we get to that point, then we can kind of get into that five on five type of stuff. So that's a defensive end. That's what we do a lot of. And of course, I love drills that are going to give you, you know, multiple skills.
Yep.
We were working on a lot of different things in those drills.
Mm-hmm.
And so the shell game gives us a chance to work on our execution on offense. And, you know, that's why I add the transition in there and just kind of keep things interesting that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I wish I was better at, I know some guys are really good at gaming, you know, so we're going to keep score. We're going to, every charge is worth 2 points, you know, and then have a reward or a punishment at the end of the game, you know, and we do a little bit of that. I think just personally, I'm really bad at keeping score for them. So,
but aren't you a math teacher though, Tom?
Oh yeah, math and science.
Yeah, okay, all right. So
I don't know what that says about my teaching, but
we just hope your superintendent doesn't hear this. How about that? Well, how do you implement all of this stuff to your practice? Take us into this is a great time of year to really examine practice. It's not the beginning where it's a bunch of install, but we're not, you know, most coaches, even if they're not very scout heavy, you know, when you start getting late into the year and district play, postseason play, you start getting scout heavy. So this is kind of the prime time part of the year where practices are really humming because your kids have got reps. You know, what's a typical practice look like at West Holt underneath you?
We always started off with some kind of communication drill. Mm-hmm. You know, we have several where the kids just have to talk. Sometimes, you know, it's just a simple pass where I've got to talk to the guy I'm passing to. I got to call their names. Or it could be, you know, transition, just a little 3-on-2, 2-on-1 type stuff. You know, just something to get them to talk. Because if you're going to, you know, everybody pretty much knows that if you're going to play good basketball, you have to communicate. And so, you know, it kind of brings them into practice, gives them, you know, mentally concentrating on being in the gym, because sometimes they've come out of a tough class or came off a test. You know, something of that sort. So get them focused with a drill that's just a communication drill, get up and down kind of drill. And then we'll work on ball handling kind of in our next phase. And again, trying to incorporate some communication there. Mm-hmm. And then we usually do our defensive sets and, you know, try to don't do the same thing we did the day before, but something new that, you know, sometimes you look at your statistics for the last couple of games and you realize, you know, this is something we're getting out rebounded, or, you know, our transition points are bad. You know, so you can focus in on that and kind of teach, hey, this is what's been going on with the last couple of games. And then we usually do, we break it down into guards and posts. Mm-hmm. Assistant coach is really good with the post game. We picked up a really good assistant coach this year, Brady Delmont, who was All-State, I think, 6 or 7 years ago. Coached against him, and he was a heck of a player. And he's been great with our guards. And so we break it down individually there, and then we bring it back to some small size stuff, you know, so our 3-on-3s and that kind of thing. And then usually finish the last 10 or 15 minutes with something team-wise. Again, maybe looking in that phase of it at the next opponent, working on the things that we're going to see, you know, maybe, you know, some out-of-bounds plays or that kind of thing that we can execute. Uh-huh. And then we always finish on some kind of a fun game. You know, we've got some free throw games. We call it football. It's just a 3-on-3 advantage type of drill, a continuous drill. Something where we have one team pitted against another. And again, I have to ask the managers to keep score because I'm not very good at it. So, but always try to finish on something uplifting, something that they have fun with, something competitive, and mm-hmm. we clap it up.
Yeah, then you clap it up. Yeah. How much shooting do you try to get in each practice, coach?
It's going to depend a lot on our gym situation, honestly. Mm-hmm. We have one gym that has 6 baskets. So we kind of wait till we have that gym that where we can do a more shooting, get more shots up. We do a lot of shooting in our post guard drills. We try to get a lot of shots up there. And our games at the end are a lot of shooting as well. So mm-hmm. I really believe in trying to get as much competitive shooting, contested shots as possible. So we don't spend a lot of time just doing a lot of catching and shooting. We do, but we try to make it realistic and try to work it. You know, a kind of a, you know, a guy in front of me type of shot. Mm-hmm.
Coaches are absolutely loving our taking over a new program booklet. As many of you know, I spent 2 years outside of coaching, and during that time, I hung a note card in my workspace at school that said, "Strip the house down to the studs." I took that time to really rethink and reorganize my thoughts on what it takes to run a transformational program. As I prepared for the possibility of coaching again, I organized these thoughts into this 96-page booklet. How much do I trust this booklet? I used this booklet as I went on interviews to help sell myself and my vision for what my new program would look like. If I'm using it to sell myself, why wouldn't I recommend it to you, my listeners? This booklet will help you look at any part of your program, no matter what stage you're at in your program, and help improve it in some way. It's all yours for only $15, which includes shipping and handling. For more information, email me at apenandanapkin@gmail.com. Coach, you talked about your half court, you know, something that changed with you or that you thought about with your program is, you know, your defense is going to travel. Your defense is going to, you know, that was kind of a steadying influence with you. Let's talk a little bit about your defense and kind of, and I know you talked a little bit about your closeouts earlier and, you know, 1-on-0 and 1-on-1 and 2-on-2 and that type of thing. But when you're putting it all together, 5-on-5, you know, what's your defensive philosophy? How do you piece that together? Why do you do what you do? And again, if I feel the need to interrupt, I'll try to do so as politely as I can, but go ahead, Todd, and let it rip here on your defensive philosophy.
Well, it kind of goes back to when I was at Rock County coaching the boys. The first couple of years I was there, we ran everything under the sun. We were 2-3, 1-2-2, 1-3-1, some man-to-man, and really weren't any good at any of them. Uh-huh. If we were winning ball games, it's because we were outscoring people. So I don't know, maybe about the third year that I had the boys there, we settled on some man-to-man, and I just happened to have a video back in those days. It was VHS that a guy was describing kind of an outer thirds, no middle type of defense, and you know, went through the process of implementing it, and that, and I guess at that point, that's when I decided, well, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to stick with it. And so it started there, and now we're still hanging on to it. And I think the more I coach it, the more things that we can be flexible in it with. Still, we have some things that are non-negotiable. You know, we want to try to keep the ball on the same side of the court. You know, if we have enough ability or athleticism, we'll try to go full court and extend it. Mm-hmm. Just try to get the offense to play on one half of the court. So when we close out, we're trying to force the corner. Our backside help is pretty soft. A lot of people look at it and say, you know, it's just it's a sagging zone. But we're trying to get on the basket line in the middle of the lane for our help, and then getting outside of the lane when we come to help, and then denying as much as we can. Mm-hmm. And trying to prevent ball reversal. I think the more that you can keep an offense on one side, the more, you know, you don't have to cover as much ground.
Yep.
And so, you know, I think offense gets uncomfortable when they can't go both directions. Mm-hmm. You know, because you work so much in practice on, you know, getting ball reversal and that when they can't do that, then I think the pressure amps up a little bit on them. And then with the shot clock this year, that's kind of been a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been a great challenge to try to get to 10 seconds. You know, if you get to 10, then, you know, pressure starts amping up a little bit more. And so that's kind of our defensive philosophy is it's just trying to take away the middle and ball reversal. Mm-hmm. And I've really enjoyed watching Coach Hoiberg and the men, Husker men this year.
Yeah, they do a great job of that.
Yeah, I've been telling the guys, it's like, watch their games because, boy, the way they scramble out of it and they, you know, even though they got bigs, they're still trying to front the post and, mm-hmm. you know, just denying things in the middle. And, it's been a, you know, however, you know, I know their season is going pretty well, mm-hmm. But I really enjoy watching their defense this year.
Yeah. I don't think you said it, Coach. Are you full fronting the post then when there is a post player down there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get there.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You know, I think a lot of when we first put it in, we had certain guys that we said, you know, you're big enough, you can play behind. Mm-hmm. Well, then we got caught up in our rotations where he was always getting stuck. So, if at all possible, we try to get around in front on the low post when the ball goes below the free throw line. I think for guards, it's great for them because, you know, they're usually quick enough to get around and get to the front. And surprisingly, you know, I don't know if what it is, but it seems like we still rebound pretty well out of it. Unless we come across, there's certain low post guys that it's hard to box out no matter what, mm-hmm. you know, but if our rotation is there, we usually get things sealed out, you know, underneath the basket.
Mm-hmm. How are you? Let's go home on this, Coach. Let's talk about your scouting philosophy. And, you know, how do you tie all this together? Your favorite drills, your practice setup, your half court defense. And now let's put it all together and let's, you know, the 5, 6, 7 times you're going to play Summerlin this year, you know, how are we going to pull it off? How are we going to put our scout together and how are we going to communicate it to our guys?
First, I'm kind of old school. If I can go see somebody play live, I just prefer doing that. But of course, where we live out here, it's really hard. You know, you got to travel an hour or an hour and a half to go see a game. So a lot of times you have to wait till you're off. You know, you don't have a game that night and they do. But when I watch video or live, I'm trying to find their glue guy, you know, the guy that kind of leads everybody else, you know, the guy that everybody's looking to. He may not be the leading scorer. He may not be their best player, but, you know, you can usually pick out that guy that makes the engine run. So I try to find that guy. And then we match up a lot of times our best defender on him, or we might have a defender that's really a pest, you know, just somebody that's going to be in your grill all night. So we kind of match up that way first. And then from there, I start looking for, you know, guys that are, you know, are they dead three shooters? Are they drivers first? Are they, you know, and trying to match up our athletes with them. So personnel wise, that's always look for, you know, who's the guy that's making them run. If they need a shot, who's going to take it? Mm-hmm. And then match up our best guy with them. And then, you know, trust that everybody else knows that too, because, you know, we always try to teach that it's five guys on defense. It's not one. And so if you're doing your job, it makes everybody else's job that much easier. And then the other thing that, so we can implement some practice is just get their general actions. You know, so are they a high low post type of team? Are they, Are they Princeton? Are they flex? Are they, you know, drive and kick kind of four out, five out? And try to pick up what they do a lot on offense. And then just try to get our matchups and do what we do.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Sorry, Coach.
I was just going to say on the defensive end, you know, I just kind of log how much time they're in different defenses. Are they switching in man-to-man? Are they trapping? Are they, you know, get their tendencies on defense, you know, what kind of full court press they have. And that way we can practice that a little bit before we play them.
Mm-hmm. How much time do you spend with your team going over the other team's tendencies, and, you know, how do you communicate that with them? Are you watching a little bit of film with them? Do you have a handout? Do you have them write stuff down? You know, how do you put that out there with your fellas?
You know, over the years, I know there's coaches that are tremendous. They'll have 2 pages of scout for their team, and I hand them out. And I did that for a couple of years. And then I think it was Gary Qualls said, you know, it just upset him when he found it in the trash, or, you know, it was laying on the floor. So I guess over the years, I've kind of just pared it down to about a third of a page. I'm looking at tonight's practice schedule, and we have, you know, the keys for the next game. We have our matchups. They have a few words about each player, what their strengths are. When you're defending them, this is what, you know, like, you, he's a up and under guy. So make sure you keep your feet. Don't jump. I probably have three sentences about their defense and a couple of sentences about their offense.
Yeah.
No, but I think with, at least with our guys, and high school guys in general, if you can boil it down to, hey, these are the important things, in this, within our system, this is what we need to focus on. And, you know, as far as film goes, very rarely do we break it down or look at film. I monitor how much film they watch, and we kind of teach them, you know, what to look for when you're watching film. Don't just be a spectator when you're watching it, you know, be a player when you're watching it, and look for, you know, the things that you did well and the things you can probably do better. I kind of trust them to know the system enough to recognize when they're doing things well or not.
Mm-hmm.
So
great stuff, Coach. Awesome. Todd Hale, head boys basketball coach at Atkinson West Holt. Coach, if folks want to know more about your program, how can they find out about it?
We're on our school website. Our school has, you know, social media, Facebook, Instagram. I think it's called X now. And we have a school app. Of course, we're on Huddle and Max Preps. And just email me. You know, you can find it on our website, our school website, at I think it's westholtps.org. And be glad to help anybody that has a question. Or I'm not saying I know it all, but I might know something.
Well, we all try to know a little something, and that's why we have you on the pod, Coach. And so, great stuff here tonight. I hope you enjoyed your maiden voyage on a Pen and a Napkin podcast.
Yeah, this has been fun. I appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Coach, if you can hold the line here just a minute, got to wrap up with a few things. Again, Todd Hale, head boys basketball coach at Atkinson West Holt High School here in Nebraska. We want to thank him for coming on here tonight. We want to thank our founding sponsor, Cosac Chiropractic, for being our founding sponsor. Follow us on Twitter at a pen and a napkin. Download, rate, review, subscribe, give us 5 stars, give us a good review, say nice things about the pod. Questions, questions, comments, suggestions, or ideas, email me apenandanapkin@gmail.com. I want to thank this week's guest, again, Todd Hale. It's a great conversation, a lot of really, really good stuff. I love the shell drill stuff. That's what I used to do. Keep it on that side, front that post, get in big help, deny those reversals, all those good things there. A lot of really, really good things from Coach Hale here tonight. So, coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at a time.